You guys are also going into these lower income homes, yeah. right? Families, yeah. neighborhoods that people would probably generally try to avoid yeah. or they would try to stay away from as far as living, right? Yeah. What inspired that idea? Because okay. I thought that was pretty yeah. amazing, yeah. you know?
The people that live in these neighborhoods, if they could afford to not live here, they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. So we know that the need is here.
Right.
So then we strategically just went usually to the gang infested neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So like these people knew us already because mm. they've seen our face. So like, how do you build relationships? Consistency.
Hey everyone, I'm very proud to represent our sponsor for this podcast. We're actually located here in Santa Paula inside A Plus Branding. They're your one-stop shop for promotional supply products such as t-shirts, custom hats, custom apparels, you name it, they brand it. A Plus Branding provides all your promotional needs. They also provide vinyl decals such as stickers. They even did this wall here for me to make sure that this room is branded properly, to make sure that the guests that do come here feels that experience. It's also a really cool partnership because we work directly with brand owners, business owners. So when they come in here, they also have a one-stop solution for their needs. So make sure to go ahead and check out A Plus Branding. You can check them out at their website, aplusbranding.com, and you can go ahead and request a quote from them. Now back to the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode here at Voiced Podcast. I'm your host, Charles Sabiaga, and I am here on behalf of a community-driven leader. I've been able to work with him for the past couple of months, just seeing the impact he's been driving towards the community. And for me, I'm always about trying to serve other community as much as I can. Obviously, I'm still building my business. However, when I see other people is getting in front of the line and being able to, you know, bring other people along the well and drive a powerful cause, it's to me, it's touching, you know. So it's a pleasure to have Vince Serrano, owner of Outsiders Brand, yeah. with me today. How are you doing today, Vince?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for driving out here at Santa Paula and checking out A Plus Branding. You know, we're going to get to know a little bit about your business and the cause that you've been able to come about. For me, like, I've always wanted to provide something, like a platform to be able to, you know, contribute to others somehow. And then when I saw your brand, you know, I've worked with your son. I actually had him on a podcast as well. Vince as yeah. well.
and the fifth.
Vince yeah, the fifth. Vince the fifth. Yeah. It was cool because, like, he told me about your brand and how he was doing it. And it's evident to see how, you know, he shares similar values as you, because I'm sure, yeah. you know, you came across somehow where you realized this is something that you want to do. So sure. For everybody listening, let's get a little bit of background about who you are and, yeah, so and outsiders as well.
Yeah, my name is Vincent Serrano IV. I have three children. He just talked about Vincent Serrano V. I have three grandchildren. We have Vincent Serrano VI.
Okay. Wow.
and Zoe and Zari. I got my daughter, Olivia, who's a school teacher out there in Thousand Oaks. And I got my little man, the popsicle. He's 15, and he goes to also the school where my daughter works.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. And I'm married to my wife of 30 years. And
she's outside right now waiting for support. Yeah. That's awesome.
And, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I've always been since I was a little kid. My grandma always instilled those values in me to be creative and to invest in, you know, your future and have ownership. So I don't know much of the story you want mm-hmm. me to get into, but she was actually the one that encouraged me to do my first nightclub.
Really?
Yeah.
So you had a nightclub way before?
Yeah. So she was part owner of a nightclub mm-hmm. and then I would promote nights there. Mm-hmm. Like, and I got into the whole music. You know, during that time, it was like a lot of dance music.
Right, right, right.
And we did like some 18 and over nights. And then that kind of kept going to where I was doing stuff in Santa Barbara, Ventura, Simi Valley, LA County.
Right.
And I did that for a while. But with that lifestyle, you know, comes a lot of partying, drinking. And that was everything my life revolved around, and ended up causing problems with my marriage, with my health. And you name it, you know, and just witnessing what that lifestyle and all the people that I drew to that lifestyle, kind of the destruction that it caused in their lives. And it ended up leading to my demise, where, like, I had a death diagnosis of,
oh, wow.
like, your liver and kidneys are failing. They're going to die. Mm-hmm. And, you know, through all that, you know, when your life's on the line, when everything, your back's against the wall, you know, you're separated from your wife, you're not seeing your kids. And, you know, we all grow up, you know, a lot of us grow up, you know, hearing about God. And when you're like in that position, you call out.
For sure.
You're desperate, yeah. You know, and I would just say this, that he answered, right? He spared my life, restored my marriage, my relationship with my kids. And so now I found myself, what do I do? You know, do I continue what I've known for years that made money, that, you know, gave me everything I wanted, the popularity, the notoriety, whatever, mm-hmm. and all that? That it led to destruction. So right. Now what?
Really?
You know? So I started off, you know, doing a campus supervisor because I didn't work for years, you know.
Okay.
So I was to find a job. I'm like, where do I go? And I got into the school district. And I would just feel so, I don't know if you want to go this direction in the podcast, but.
Yeah,
so I found myself in a place where, like, I'm more talented than this, and I could do more things.
Right.
And then I start seeing my old friends, how far they progress in that industry that I was in. Big shout out to Sujit Kundo. He's, like, managing all the top DJs in the world.
Nice.
And, like, we started together, and I'm like, what am I doing? You know,
I'm over here
by a trash can watching the bathroom for a job, you know. Right. And, I just knew I was meant for more. And,
right.
You know, I tried to stay away from everything that reminded me of my past, but I realized that was a talent that I had. And so I started doing, during this time, there was a lot of killings in Ventura County.
Okay.
So I started doing peace rallies, right, in the community. So what I would do is I'd take a resource fair. I would get, like, these different artists from the community plus some Christian, you know, rap artists. And we, you know, we'd give away food, gently used clothes. And it just started, like, a movement. So every time someone would get killed, we'd go to that area and just kind of encourage the community to come out. And, like, this is your neighborhood. Don't feel scared. And giving them resources. Like, there was, like, organizations like Parents of Murdered Children and, you know, how to get, you know, health insurance and how to get food. And, like, we just started connecting with resources. And then, so it was like a little movement because we were getting, like, big crowds. And then so some of these artists would hit me up from, like, LA and to come out and you know, perform. And they would bring merch, right? And I was like, oh, dang, you know, like, we're putting money, and these guys are going home with money,
mm-hmm.
selling the merch to the community.
Right.
And I thought to myself, like, well, why can't I do that?
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to think of something, racking my brain, and I knew that everybody liked wearing Oxnard,
mm-hmm.
right?
And no,
I
yeah,
got
yeah.
the Oxnard O with the Siegel. And I was like, I'm going to take that Oxnard, and I'm going to just put Oxnard Believers.
Mm.
Right? So I did that. I made a hat. I made a shirt. And, like, we're just selling like crazy. But then I was like, man, I want to do something more original because I'm just jacking the Oxnard logo, mm-hmm. right?
Right, right.
So right. I was just, like, at work as a campus supervisor, I felt like I don't belong here. I felt like mm-hmm. an outsider, right?
Right.
So I started, like, that started in my head. And then, plus, I don't act like everybody here, you know, and then as far as my old friends, I'm not out in the clubs anymore. I'm not doing all the crazy stuff, so I don't fit in there. And then I was in my church, and, like, you know, everywhere, you know, you get, like, these little groups and stuff, and I go, I don't fit in there. So I was like, outsiders, right? Let me take the Oxnard O and just put outsiders.
Mm.
And I go, but who wants to wear a seagull?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
right,
I changed it to a dove.
Yeah.
So we made a hat and a shirt. And some of those big artists that would come and volunteer their time at these peace rallies,
mm-hmm.
I'd give them one.
Oh, okay.
And then somehow my hat ended up with a big Christian artist that was
really?
Like, getting like
a lot of attention.
Like Grammy attention, mm-hmm. Stoller Awards, all these different awards. And he wore it in
really?
One of his photo shoots. So this is how the brand came about.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, I started getting inboxes. How do I get that hat?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. That just send me your address or whatever. And then someone's like, oh, why don't you just get a Square account? And so I did that. And then we started getting international orders. I'm like, well, then I should go to Shopify, right? And then it was doing good. Like all of a sudden, like they make a couple more shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I teamed up with this guy that I know through the faith that he designed for Neff, Reckless, Popular by Demand, like all these big secular brands.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and he just created some awesome branding for us,
yeah.
right? As far as the logos and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And we just started, it just started going.
Right.
And then we had an opportunity to go on a tour that was in 100 cities. So all our merch went to those cities and it just created this movement. And it wasn't good enough, though, like financially for me to quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, I discovered marketing.
Mm.
Right.
Okay.
And it was actually during the 2019 when everybody was home. Right. And I was like, let me take some of these classes and how to do it. And I learned how to social media market. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, you know, the Shopify has a little cha-ching. Mm-hmm. It was just going off all night, nice. All day. And I was just like, what's happening? And I wasn't even prepared for that. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, I was like printing the postage, cutting it out. Because I didn't have no printer for
right.
Everything was like mom and pop.
Yeah, you're doing it based at home.
Yeah, and then my inventory wasn't up to date. So I'm like refunding people because I'm souring out of everything so quick.
Wow. Yeah. And when was this time frame?
2019.
2019, right before COVID.
Yeah. So we it was 2015 when we started the brand, and we just like, you know, just kind of making money just to put back. Because the thing with clothing brands, you have to put so much money in just to brand it. To brand it, that's the key. Because 100%. And so like it's really just you're playing the long game. Mm-hmm. That's any advice I would give to anybody who have a clothing brand. Mm. Don't expect to make money right away if you're thinking long game. If you want to just do the out the trunk thing, you could get it and make the money, and then you're gonna have to come up with the money to make some more. Mm-hmm. Right, so I was just thinking long game, and okay. Maybe I'll slow down a little bit. So
No. That's good. I do have a few questions. Yeah. Pivoting back into it, you know, you got the name because you felt like an outsider.
Yeah.
So it seems like right now, or at the time that you made it, you created the brand for people who felt like they were outsiders.
Yeah. Well, originally it was because I felt like an outsider.
Okay.
But now it's taking a whole different light.
Yes.
Because we go to the ones outside, like in the community. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah, how has outsiders evolved over time? Because from my experience coming in there, like I go in there, right? Like I was filming for you guys. It felt like everybody in there was a part of something bigger. And that they actually genuinely enjoyed being a part of it.
Yeah.
Right? So talk about how the evolution for Outsiders brand, what originally was for you, and now everybody feels like they identify with it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was actually my son. We were doing, like I said, these peace rallies, and my son, Benny, I call him Benny.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, Dad, let's go take some food. I work in the Avenue, and let's go take some food. These guys are always out there. So we made a bunch of sandwiches, went out there, took it. And then from that, it just kind of evolved into like wanting to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And something that happened, it was like we got like this Arctic chill thing that was happening in the U.S. It was like in 2000 something. I don't remember.
Right.
And I remember I woke up like in the middle of the night shivering next to my wife with the blanket in my house. And I went to go turn on the old wall heater. And I was like, you don't use the heater in Oxnard. You know, like it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And so I stayed up. Just because, like, I want to make sure the dust wasn't too overbearing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started thinking, like, man, what about the people that are outside right now? You know, and I prayed, and I was just like, God, I would love to help, you know? Then I got the idea of you buy this hoodie with the you know, the connections I have with with the vendors, like, so I can get some pretty low prices on some hoodies.
Okay.
And if I buy them in bulk, and then, you know, I knew a print guy that he gave me a deal for the print. And I go, if I sell this one hoodie, I could afford to give out five for free. So I did that. Right. And we were able to give away 2,000 hoodies.
Wow.
Yeah. So we went to the people living on the street though. Cause you can go to like a mission or, somewhere where they have shelter, but we went to find the ones that were actually sleeping on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the brand kind of evolved to the a brand that gives back.
Right.
So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Okay, awesome. And over the years, like how have you guys, like, because you guys are also going into these lower income homes, right? Families, neighborhoods that people would probably generally try to avoid or they would try to stay away from as far as living, right? But these people here are living because they have to, right?
Yeah.
How did you guys come about the idea of just like, hey, like how did you guys create that infrastructure? Yeah. Like recently, you guys had an Easter giveaway. Right before that, you had a Christmas giveaway. And right before that, a Thanksgiving giveaway. Yeah. You guys went into seven neighborhoods, right?
Seven neighborhoods. And then the Thanksgiving, we do 14 neighborhoods.
Yeah. What inspired that idea? Because I thought that was pretty amazing, you know? Like, I wish I could have been there for all of them, you know? Because it was just like so... just seeing all the little kids and the parents starting to... feel the impact, right? I thought it was really cool, you know? How did you guys come about that?
All right, that was kind of an accident. So we were doing, like, one, like, central location.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were doing them in Colonial Park. We did it at Santa Clara High School in the parking lot. And it's just everybody would just come, and then you would get people with their nails did, their hair did, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, with their coach purse,
right, getting free stuff.
And I'm just like, oh man, this doesn't feel right, you know? But then I would ever, like, just God bless and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, one year, I think it was raining. So we're like, man, we have all these turkeys. What do we do? And I were like, let's just go to this neighborhood and just knock on doors.
Mm.
And then we did that. We still have a lot left. Well, let's go to this other neighborhood. Mm. And then it just kind of like, wait a minute. The people that live in these neighborhoods, if they could afford to not live here, they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the need is here.
Right.
So then we strategically just went usually to the gang infested neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we just, so we, remember the peace rallies we would do? We'd do them in the neighborhoods.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
So like these people knew us already because they used to see our face. So like, how do you build relationships? Consistency.
For sure.
So we're going to go to Cuesta. We're going to go to Lemon. We're going to go to El Rio. We're going to like, so we just started frequently going to these places, right? So we built relationships.
Mm.
So now we're able to organize with somebody in the community. Hey, we're coming. Let them know, you know? And that's kind of how it happened.
I think it's an amazing thing to do, especially, you know, first of all, I mean, I'd like to point out that, you know, you're a Christian, right?
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
And a lot of you guys incorporate the beliefs and standards that the Christian community has incorporated to you guys.
Yeah.
Can you describe a little bit more about how that came about and what transpired into, because I seen you guys, like literally you guys were, you had one of the family member who wanted to confess to you guys. I thought that was powerful, you know?
Yeah, so our motto is to love God, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we love God? Because he first loved us.
Right.
So we have a relationship with God. He loved us. We love him back. And then the greatest commands, these are the greatest commands that Jesus gives us, mm-hmm. and to love our neighbor.
Right.
So how do we love our neighbor, right? We the Bible says, do unto the least of these. When I was hungry, did you clothe me? When I was naked, did you, you know, when I was hungry, did you give me food? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was in prison, did you visit me? So we want to follow those commands, right? So we love God. How do we love God? Because because he loves us. And then we love our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
That overflows into our neighborhoods and
are
the people we love, right? And so we just started following the commands of Jesus. And
mm-hmm.
one of the big keys of his commands is to share the gospel, the good news.
Mm.
So we make that part of our mission.
For sure.
So we love God, love our neighbor, and we preach the gospel. And the last part is to repeat it. We just don't do it once because a lot of people come by and they do something and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we're going to keep doing it.
You're going to keep doing it because it's a part of the culture. It's part of the values that you guys stand for, right? And I think it's a powerful thing, and especially, you know, as a brand who advocates for helping others, you understand that, like, hey, like, if they're a believer, right, and they are looking for help or if they don't know who to look into, you guys provide that bridge towards that. So just to get a little background, I'm Catholic by heart, right? I don't practice as much as I do.
Yeah.
I'm always curious about to see what other religious beliefs practice and how I can incorporate certain values myself.
Yeah.
And when I see, like, you know, like groups, you know, families, organizations incorporate different values like that, to me, like, those are the things that I look for that I think that makes the world worth living.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, man, I think it's a powerful thing that you guys are doing, right? You know, you guys were able to go out to different families and, you know, I imagine some of them are also reaching out. Like, how can we work with you guys more? Like, how has you guys working with communities, like, impacted other communities?
Yeah. So I would say, I want to just go back to, like, the whole mission, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want people to, I didn't want to put scriptures on my shirts. I do
for
now.
Sure.
But I wanted people to see outsiders and know that we were Christians by what we did,
mm-hmm.
right? The Bible says that you will know that you're my disciples if you love one another,
mm-hmm.
the way you love one another.
Right.
So I wanted, that was the idea with the branding. Like, when they see outsiders, they know it's Christian, right? So just quick stories that we reach people that are not Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
And they rock with us because we do good,
nice.
You know, in the community. So, like, literally, I get stories that I was wearing your hat or your hoodie, and then I was about to go, you know, do this or that. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, I got to take this off first.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to represent this brand wrong.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
So you're talking about impacts in the community is they know what we stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're open for us to come. And I mean, so many great things have come in from this, you know?
Yeah,
other
yeah.
people have been inspired to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would say anybody, like, be inspired by people,
mm-hmm.
right? But make it your own.
For sure,
Make
for
it
sure.
your own. put your own spin on it. But I love the fact that we're inspiring people to do the same thing.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. I mean, seeing you guys, because I know someday, eventually, I want to create my own thing as well to be able to give back in some way, right? Because I believe that everything we do is not just for us to keep, but it's to give back to other people who need it, right? So in essence, like, you're creating, you're giving to other people what you had, right? And that's a powerful thing to have. And I'm sure your family looks up to you or really respects those values to tradition wise, right? Yeah. So as far as community wise,
yeah. I mean, Jesus said it's better to give than receive. Mm. And the thing is, you can get something and it's cool for a moment, mm-hmm. and you got to get something else.
For sure.
You could have all these aspirations, you reach them, and it's not enough. But when you give and you're making an impact on people that don't have, like, it's just a better blessing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's cool to have
for sure.
the nicest, you know, kicks or the nicest car or the nicest system. But when you see somebody else impacted, mm-hmm. it's just, you sleep better at night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think also for most of us, like, I think humans are not meant to be alone.
Yeah.
Like, we're meant to be collectively, you know, together, but with all the wars, politics, yeah. and agendas and all that stuff, right? It divides people, yeah. right? So like I said, you know, that's why I'm always like keen on looking for people, organizations who represent these values, such as yeah. like what you and your organization represent for.
And that's the thing too, when we go into these communities, they know there's no strings attached. Mm-hmm. We come and share a message, but we're not saying if you want this, you gotta mm-hmm. follow us, you know, like, nah. But over time, when they see the consistency, mm-hmm. now the message and the work line up together.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we say has value because they see the value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when we preach, they're like, yeah, these guys believe this because see the fruit in their life.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what, like, mm-hmm. now we have this, a Bible study on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And it's gotten big. It's like up to 40 to 50 people.
Okay.
And people from the community.
Wow.
Us. Even people that's that live on the streets. They come and they eat and they sit down with mm-hmm. us and we get in the Bible and encourage them and try to plug them into resources to get off the streets. And we've had plenty of great stories where they get help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes we see them go back, but we're still there to pick them up.
Yeah. And that's a powerful thing. You know, I appreciate you and respect for what you and your organization is doing collectively all together. Right. And also, I also think that, like, the best way to get across in front of people's minds, for me, in my opinion, especially someone who, you know, works with businesses and brands and all that, is it's more than just getting in front of them. It's how you leave them.
Yeah.
You know, the feeling that you give them.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. Yeah, that's when people wear Outsiders brand, I want them to know what it represents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just the conviction of not to do bad things, but like, hey, I spent $50 on this hoodie instead of the $200 Jordan one.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan just got richer.
It's a brand that you can support.
Yeah, but these guys, right? I know where it went,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, you know, some of it goes to my family. Some of it goes to my needs.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
But, like, you see, you know, what we do with it, mm-hmm. you know? And it wouldn't be able to happen without the support of the community.
Yeah, and the fact that you guys have come in this thing makes me really genuinely curious. I mean, I'm sure you came across a few struggles where it felt like it wasn't going to work out. A couple projects you guys probably came across. Talk a little bit about how some of the, you know, struggles that you came across, you know, trying to organize. I imagine, like, organizing a bunch of people is difficult, right? So how do you come about, like, some of those struggles? And, you know, if you can talk a little bit about some examples you came across, it would be great.
So the professional-wise, mm-hmm. it's a struggle because you create this wave, right? And if you're not able to sustain it, you go back down. And you have to climb back
tell
up.
Tell me about it, man.
And I got sick, really sick for about a year. And, like, we were at the top of, like, we were doing good. I don't even want to say numbers, but it was like like really good. And you know, when I got sick, it was like, you know, I tried to sustain it, but I couldn't.
Would you say momentum kind of fell off?
Yeah, big time. Like, almost to nothing, where I was returning people's money because they were still ordering from us. Mm-hmm. We had no new stuff, but the supporters kept buying. And I was like, I don't want to do them wrong, so I just refunded everything because I couldn't sustain. I was really sick. Like, I didn't even know I was gonna make it. That's what I'm saying. And so now I started at ground zero, and I'm just like, how do I even want to do this again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when I was interviewed, like, I was like, do I want to, when they asked me, what am I going to do? I'm like,
almost at the last podcast you did?
Yeah, okay. I said, almost nothing. I'm maybe nothing. Yeah, I don't even want to do it. And so I even tried to go back to the school system. That's how, you know, like, when you start at ground zero, it's kind of discouraging. You have to start all over. Trust I used to have a full-time employee and all these different things. And now I'm like, flatline, you know? And I'm like, do I want this? And then, but the give backs kept happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fortunately, we had a lot of people that support us in the communities. That's another thing I want to point out mm-hmm. is that so many community organizations, businesses, small business, big business, they support. Mm-hmm. So we're able to fulfill that vision that God has given us. And they come alongside and they don't care that we're Christian. Mm-hmm. They know our program.
Yeah.
You know, they know we're going to share the gospel. They know what we represent and they still want to be there. And that's, if they know that, they can come be part of it too.
That's powerful.
Because we're not going to outside of our, operate outside of our calling. Mm-hmm. As long as your, what you do doesn't cross it, we're good, you know? But yeah, going back to the professionally, like that is discouraging, you know? Mm-hmm. And then having to come up with new designs when the designer you have is not working with us no more.
Yeah.
So like, I'm over here trying to outsource to different designers and the pricing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I used to get that for free. Now,
I'm paying
top dollar for it. And then
for sure.
They don't even get what you want. And you know, they're frustrated. Mm-hmm. And like, that's not exactly what I want. And then I would just settle.
Yep.
And I'm just like, I don't even want it. And I don't even put mm-hmm. it out. And I just paid them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just anybody that wants to start a clothing brand, mm-hmm. I would not do it unless it's really, really what you think you're supposed to do.
I mean, it takes effort. I mean, we work with a lot of brands in here and we see people who are going in and out and still figuring things out, you know, and, you know, they may not have everything yet.
Yeah. And something about now, it's just like producing music, right? Mm. Now you could do it in your
right.
stinking.
Yeah, I could do it right now.
Yeah, wherever, on your phone, on the bus stop. Yeah. So now with the technology they have, like the DTGs, DTF, mm-hmm. you could do all this stuff in your home. So what's going to set you apart from all these great ideas that everybody has?
It's the brand you have.
Yeah, the consistency, right? The what's the mission behind it? That's so important because if not, you could just go to a swap meet and buy something with the picture on it for cheap.
And that's a powerful, I think, topic to bring about because, you know, I've worked with many brands, collaborated with many brands, and, you know, consulted with a few brands as well, trying to figure out how they want to do things. And one of the things that I do notice that really makes someone stand out is the values that they stand for, right? Like the mission that they want to represent. And from what I'm seeing as well is like you could have said it yourself, like when you saw the numbers fell down, you could have quit and went back to the school system.
Yeah.
But clearly you were motivated by something more. It wasn't just by the sales or the volume that the brand itself, but it was the mission and the impact.
It was a mission, but it became a movement. Mm-hmm. Like, who am I to stop it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It don't even.
Yeah.
If you even look at my promotions, it's not even promoting the brand hardly. The clothing. It's the impact, the mission.
Yeah, I do see that.
That's what excites me.
Yeah.
You know, making money, I need it.
Yeah, for sure.
But it doesn't excite me, but mm-hmm. I realize it goes hand in hand.
For sure.
The more money we make, the more we could do.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that message comes to me, it resonates to me all the time. You know, when you do something you love, you'll be glad to do it for free.
Yeah.
And then the money comes in too, you know, as time progresses, you got to build that community. So thank you for being transparent with that. I mean, it takes a lot. You know, a lot of people are not, you know, their egos up here to be able to share something like that, you know. So I think with what you have, Vince, you guys are going to create something powerful, especially with the community you have, you know. Yeah. So hopefully with this podcast, we can reach others and be able to extend that reach, you know.
Definitely. Can I share something, like one of the probably like the best compliments that we've got?
Yeah, for sure. Always.
I got a message from some guy in LA. He saw some home, because when we do the Stay Warm project, we go to Skid Row too.
Okay.
And he saw our brand on some people in the streets, mm-hmm. and he sent me this article by Abercrombie.
Right.
Where like the owner said, I don't want any homeless wearing our stuff, so we don't want none of our stuff going to, you know, donated to secondhand stores. Like, it's degrading our brand. He goes, but I see you guys made it mm-hmm. in your mind because people in the streets are wearing your mm-hmm. stuff, because the homeless community is wearing your stuff.
Yeah.
It's such a flip of what's normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And to me, that just really blessed me because they know that about us without even knowing us.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. Like, you know, to have a brand that people who are, one, they could feel like they might be outsider, right? But also because they received help from you guys or just really fuck with you guys' message, you know, sorry for cussing. Yeah. But, you know, I think that is inspiring, you know, and I hope someday, you know, I think everybody here needs a little bit of help, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes that little bit of help gets us get closer to where we want to be in life.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and we all need that. So, I mean, you guys also had a lot of supplies. I mean, I'm just curious, like, you know, what kind of supporters did you guys have that you guys have been able to be blessed by? I mean, you know, to be able to give back to the community like that.
Yeah. So I would say, like I said, the consistency. Mm-hmm. Like, so with the Thanksgiving, we've been doing it for, this is our 11th year. Mm-hmm. And so we have donors like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I mean,
like Vons. Like, just they people with money, they want to see that it's real and genuine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so people have no problem donating to us a box of toiletries or just you name it, like, mm-hmm. because they know where it's going to go.
Right.
So most businesses, you know, if you don't, you know, give, they're going to give it to Uncle Sam. So they'd rather give it to somebody that's actually has their hands to the plow and they're out there doing it, you know.
And it's also a write-off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. But, you know, either they're going to give it to Uncle Sam or
exactly.
So I would say that the awareness of that the clothing brand is created brought awareness to what we do in the community. Mm-hmm. And then some of these people that have money, they're like, man, look, we like their clothes, but let us give to that too.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I'm just curious, Vince. I mean, is Outsiders the NPO itself as the entity, or is it another entity?
So my son, mm-hmm. he inspired the give backs in the mm-hmm. community by taking the wagon with the sandwiches to the homeless. And so we have a nonprofit. We gave it to him for Christmas.
Okay.
Like, we got it registered, and it's called nice. Vision Supply.
Vision Supply. I remember
the
that.
Only reason why it's under Outsiders because it doesn't make sense to brand two things. Mm. So as a nonprofit, it's Vision Supply. A for-profit is Outsiders brand. Mm-hmm. Outsiders brand gives to Vision Supply. Mm.
That makes sense.
We do those promos.
Yeah.
Like, it goes through Vision Supply. And then with that nonprofit, we're able to buy like sweaters and stuff, mm-hmm. supplies at discounted rate.
Right. Because you guys have that ability. And that's a cool thing working with you guys as well, right? So for anybody out there, you know, who are looking to give back, but also, you know, make a little write-off for your business, yeah, right? They can reach out to you guys, kind of. I've seen a few vendors work with you guys, right? Yeah. Like photo booths, yeah. DJs. Talk to us a little bit about some of the vendors, or, you know, if you want to shout anybody out.
Yeah, I mean... Well, they don't go by that, but the DJs in the 805, mm-hmm. They support us every year for the Thanksgiving.
Right.
Like, even during the whole lockdown, mm-hmm. whatever, they put together this virtual one, and they were able to raise a lot of money.
That's awesome.
So every year they get behind it. Jay Scratch helps a lot. Like, yeah. When the OG's on the mix-a-thon, all the other ones start coming, you know? Yeah. So him, Wicked, right away they say yes. Nice. And then all the guys, like, it's a way for me to stay connected to my whole lifestyle, sure. too.
Oh, that's right. You used to be part of the club scene, yeah.
Yeah, nice to DJ also.
I'm just curious also, then, now that you mentioned it, so you're saying some of your connections have been able to, you know, extend that towards your current business, right? Yeah. Your past life, as far as, like, you know, working in the club, how has that, like, transcribed into your business? I mean, has it affected it somehow or in any way or influenced it?
No, a lot of the people from my whole life, they support us, you know, and we also have a record label. You know, I had one and when I was out there, it was more geared to, like, the club lifestyle.
Yes.
But now, like, you know, just doing it for God's glory.
Yeah, I am actually curious about that, because I noticed that you guys were dropping a song I'm not exactly sure what the logistics are, but I did see you guys were collaborating with some artists.
Yeah.
How does that come about?
So, like, I try to stay away from the music, because mm-hmm. I try to start at this label early on when I started the Outsiders theme.
Right.
And just people are not able to be consistent, they fail you, and I just kind of, like, shied away from it. But I just realized it's in me. I love seeing creatives fulfill what they're created, you know. I'm not... like a creative, but I know how to bring it out.
I think you are a creator.
Yeah. But I'm not a musician or anything like that. So
I feel you.
So, like, you know, it's just amazing to witness, you know, the process of creating the song, mm-hmm. you know, and to be able to help it happen, right? Also, with the branding aspect of it. So I did this 12 song CD.
Right.
I don't know, the album. And so what I did was I did 12 songs with top Christian hip-hop artists, mm-hmm. and I made a video for each song.
Okay.
And it was called Faith Without Walls. So we dropped track after, like, one a month with the video, mm-hmm. with everybody wearing Outsiders brand. And, you know, and it's like the same thing. Once somebody big does it, everybody else kind of falls in line, right?
Yeah.
So all 12 songs were, like, with heavy hitters, you know? And so now my brand's in front of all their followers and fans, right? And that kind of kept the brand going. So now, like, we serve the Spanish-speaking community, right? But all the kids are bilingual, but the parents speak Spanish. So what I wanted to do was, I saw Ice Cube do it and Snoop Dogg do it. They did a song with the Banda.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm going to do that.
Oh, shit. Right?
Because the parents speak Spanish and the kids are bilingual. So let me merge hip-hop and that style together.
Yeah, that is
and we already did two. So we're dropping an EP, 5 songs. It's called Pa' Las Calles, for the streets.
Okay.
And instead of Outsiders brand, it's Los Outsiders.
Okay. You know, Los Outsiders. Yeah. Interesting. Are you dropping a track or somebody else's?
No. It's all through me. I don't rap. I don't sing, but I put it all together.
Yeah. Gotcha. And who are some of the people or the artists that's involved?
Locally, they're called Al Jordan, like Al Jordan, but in Spanish. And we got Philly out here. He's doing like a lot of the production for us.
Oh, Philly.
Ventura.
Philly Studio. Yeah, he actually works near here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's doing a lot of the production. And then like I'm collaborating with all the relationships like that I have in CHH, Christian Hip Hop.
Okay.
So like I'm getting
That's awesome.
Some of the big artists to, like it took a little bit of convincing, but when they saw the first two singles, they're like, oh, this is
Can good. You drop a little bit of names right now or no?
Oh, yeah. We got 1K Pisa, 1K Few. Angie Rose. I don't know. Some people might not know these people, but they're big in the Christian hip hop community. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Cool. Okay. So besides that, I mean, like, what are some other things that like Outsiders are working towards right now? So that you know, for any listeners or people who are trying to tune in, or maybe you know they want to support the cause. You know, what can they look forward to?
So as far as professionally, we had this idea back when. So please don't copy it. Anybody that's listening,
trademark it right now.
Yeah. So. We created it on like boutique, right? So a lot of people want to work with us because they don't know how to start their brands. So we're collaborating with different artists and different movements, and we help them with their merchandise, and we're putting it all on a website we call it Fat Boutique, right? So it goes with the scripture though, it's eating out the fat of the land, you know. So
what is it?
Fat Boutique. So the scripture, I don't have it memorized.
Oh, okay.
It's talking about eating off the fat of the land, right?
Okay.
It's an Old Testament verse. But the whole idea was filtering all the marketing through to the one boutique, right? So you work with these big artists, you have a shirt for them, so we get all their artists going through there, which piggybacks and, you know, scratches the back of the other artists that are there.
Right.
So that's kind of what we're working on professionally. And then as far as with the ministry, We're planning to open a church.
Okay.
So my pastor is okay with it, and he's kind of grooming me, getting me ready.
That's awesome.
And as far as the givebacks, we're going to continue to do the givebacks, and then I'm going to help some people out, a church out in San Jacinto, create the same model that we do here. So that's my goal, is to be able to go to different communities and teach somebody how to do the same thing.
How to create a brand and be able to drive an impact as well?
Yeah, so not the clothing brand. So
okay, gotcha.
We call our thing the give back, right? And we do it 4 times a year in the communities, right? And then we have a weekly food distribution. That's another story, but so I want to go show them how to do give backs in their community.
Okay.
So I'm going to give them the model,
how to structure it,
how to connect with the resources.
Gotcha.
All that stuff.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. And then you said something else that you were doing, and that's something different? I think you said something about giving out food drive or...
Oh, no. On Saturdays, we give out food every Saturday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
every Saturday. Bible study every Tuesday. We do a men's group and then the give backs.
Okay. Yeah. So you're establishing this church that represents the brand as well, right?
Yeah.
And you want to create more give backs, right? And also teach others how to do the same.
Yes.
What else do you see for your brand in the next couple of years? I mean, evolving into, just curious for people who are tuning in.
Yeah, we're going to stop doing so many one-off designs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I'm just going to stick with just Outsiders. And we have like 4 main logos. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the colors.
Right.
They're only going to be available during that season.
Mm.
And with that, with the artists, friends that I know, we're going to have a single that drops with that season that also goes to the give backs, right? And I'm going to do that all year round.
That's awesome. Yeah, instead of looking for a designer.
Yeah.
Unless you guys end up, you know, becoming at one point where now you can sustain a designer, right?
I might do one-offs here and there, but that's going to be the goal. Like, we can only get the the lavender and the blue and the black during you know, fall,
limited
you
know, supply yeah, kind of
during
thing, you know,
each season.
That's interesting. I mean, for now that we're into that topic as well, for people who are looking to drop their brands, whether they want to be able to give back or just have some sort of a direction towards, you know, whatever it is they're passionate about, what are some tips or advice that you can tell them, you know, right now, right off the bat, besides what you mentioned earlier, you know, that can help them even, you know, progress their brand?
I would say start off exactly how you want to start off, from the quality to the design to the direction, and stay there. Don't go below that. You want your customers, even with your customer service, like, stay consistent on how you want to represent from the gate, because every mess up is you have to start over. So, like, during the supply chain problem, I was trying different blanks, and we're booming, remember? Like, we're selling our clients. Right. And like, I would go to order my blanks, and they're like, we're out of larges, we're out of X. Go try these other ones, and then look white, they look good, and then they shrink too much, you know, with Amazon, everybody wants their package the next day. So when you have your you know, 3 days to process and a week to get there, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
So, and then I wouldn't do print on demand with anybody. If you're going to be a brand, like, it needs to be you from start to finish. Trust me, because people pick up on it not being personal. Like, people want a face for the brand. People want to know that it's not impersonal. It needs to be personal. I mean, there's people that do it with that model, you know, like, there's the Walmarts of the clothing brands, but it's not.
It doesn't build a retention and sustainability. Yeah. You know? You want to build a brand that people can remember for a very long time, and, you know, besides fucking with the message, but also something that they can wear pridefully. You know,
I like to use Bone Thugs and Harmony when I talk about this. So Bone Thugs and Harmony, I'm a big fan. Like, that was like my, and like, it doesn't matter what they dropped, like, if it was new, if it was whack, if they showed up to the town, they always had that cult following that would be there, right? It don't matter if everything shuts down, or if they ever make another song, they're going to be sustained by the people that love them. So with the brand, right, you could have a revolving door, like, where you're popping, then you have to rebrand and make something new up. But if you get this audience that they love you, like, just when I was sick, I didn't make nothing new, they kept buying because they supported us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when their shirt wore out, they wanted the same one again.
Again, coming back into how did you make them feel? You know, that's what really makes people, what really binds the community together, you know? Cool. Awesome. I think we're pretty much wrapping up on this. I mean, is there anything that you want to bring up as far as topic for your brand, or anything that listeners should know?
No, it just kind of, it's been on my heart, just only because I deal with it. Like I said, be inspired, but make it your own. Because there's a lot of people that see how we move, and they think that's the blueprint. And I even see it in the music industry. Like, there are certain people that are popping, and everybody tries to be them.
That person,
But it's like, no, just like, be inspired by them, but be you. You know what I mean? So with brands, you don't have to. I love, you know, the whole flipping logos and stuff. Like, it's cool, but don't sustain your brand on the brand on that. Make your own branding. I don't care if you do it, though, but, like, every once in a while, just for fun, you know, make 50 pieces that are just inspired, like, or kind of like a flip. I'm okay with that. I like flips. But don't stay there. You know, you got to create something that's your own and that's going to last.
Right.
So it just happens to us a lot. You know? I think because we do this, or we move with this, or we use this, that's the blueprint for success.
You know? Okay, awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that little tip and some insights as well. So for anybody who, let's start with this one, who wants to get involved with, you know, Outsiders or any projects you have, where can they best find you?
You know, I spend most time on Instagram.
Okay, same here.
Instagram's connected with the Facebook. I don't really do X yet. TikTok, if I remember. You know, it's just a lot for me.
Yeah, it is. Trust me.
Maybe one day we'll have somebody that does all that. But,
you know. And then drop your website just for the listeners to know where they can shop from.
You can go to Fat Boutique.
I'll put it on the link.
And also Outsiders Brand.
Outsiders Brand. Okay, cool, perfect.
And check out our YouTube, too. We already started building that. Because we've had it for a long time, but I just never really pushed it. So we're trying to build that, because eventually we would like to have a lot of things we talk about. We would have like a podcast too.
You know, okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to see that as well. You know. Okay. And then for anybody who do want to reach out to you, maybe personally, where can they best find you?
Yeah, find me on Instagram.
Is it Instagram as well?
The DM.
Cool. Awesome. Well, before I end off the show, so this location, obviously, my business partner owns it. A Plus Branding is his business, and we're also partners for my agency. They did want to give you a gift, just a little something to come by, you know. So what they've done is they actually put your logo in here.
Oh, nice.
This is why I asked for as well, and then as well as a little message so you can read that.
Cool.
And then some stickers as well, some samples that they created for you. You
know, can I shout out my partners?
Yeah, go for it.
So big shout out to Eddie Vargas with Vargas Real Estate. He's been with me forever. He's a big contributor to the givebacks in the community. He also supports me with the brand financially. Big shout out to Sergio with Threaded Ink. He's my boy. Yes. He's always, you know, been with me and supports me 100%. And my family with the ministry and everything, like, they're the ones that carry the load when there's not nobody there.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? So my wife, my kids, Vinny, my daughter, it's just like God gave me an in-house, you know, like
support
machine,
system. I do love that.
And my mom's such a blessing to me too. And that's one thing I wanted to touch on is that, you know, you said proud of you, right? Like my mom saw my whole life and she supported me, but she wasn't proud of it. You know, even before my dad died, they were out there with us in the community and they were behind it 100%. And that's nothing. Feels better as a son, you know, that your parents actually support what you do.
Yeah,
you know?
That's awesome. Shout out to mom as well. Yeah. You know, that's, you know, having your parents support you in the mission, especially in this journey, is a big thing. You know, at least for me, even, you know.
And one last thing, I know I wouldn't be able to do this, and here it is, unapologetically, without Jesus Christ, I would not be able to do any of this. I'd be dead.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that, Vince. Awesome. Well, for anybody tuning in, that's the episode for today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys want to reach out to him, go ahead. Other than that, Vince, thank you for joining us.
Right, thank you.
Hey, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll be doing more episodes like this where we bring on professionals, experts, leaders to voice what they stand for. So if you haven't already, make sure to follow or subscribe so that you can tune in to the next and latest episodes.